sunny South Kanata, where the snowbanks are as high as the teenagers. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 12 of the Sense Call-Ups for Monday, February 16th, 2015. It's the usual cast of Canuck.
Kill me. That was a good one. Keep it. It's good.
It's the usual cast of Canuck, Pan, and I, and amidst all the doom and gloom of tanking, losing, and missing the playoffs, the last of the we-need-to-sign-these-guy list was completed today with the signing of Mark Mathot to a four-year contract extension. We'll be talking about that later on, but we welcome your thoughts as well via the waiver wire at 844-STU-6565, the online forums at senscallups.com. You can reach us via Twitter, on Facebook, and via email at podcast@senscallups.com. So
that was good.
All right. Oh, I'm glad you liked that.
I was just like, it's like, well, they're taller than me. Like, oh. That was good.
Thank you. Just before we started this, I was telling you that...
downhill from me. Yeah,
that's it, folks. You might as well cancel now. That's the only laugh we're going to get out of us today.
Yeah, you downloaded. That's good enough for us.
I was out... we know that it's quite cold here. And that's the obligatory reference to the weather. There we go. Well played, sir. Well played. I was telling you that I was out for dinner last night, and yeah. I walked to my friend's house because I knew we would be having, this is a friend of mine who happens to really enjoy a good red wine, as do I. Mm-hmm. So I knew that there would be quite a number of drinks involved with dinner last night.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
So I walked.
Yeah.
4.5 kilometers each way.
Nope.
Well, the drinks were really good.
4.5 kilometers.
You're going to need a lot of drinks to keep warm.
How long was that walk then?
35, 40 minutes. It's the equivalent of walking from Parliament Hill to Lansdowne Park.
And there's your local.
You won't have a problem with the parking then when the building goes there.
No, not at all.
Does that count as the local reference for the listeners at home?
Absolutely. There we go. If you're wondering what the cash register sounds are about, there's a wonderful little bingo card that longtime listener and contributor CB Inc. has made. It's in the web forums at sensecallups.com. You can download this page. And you know, we also encourage people to rearrange the square so not everybody's playing on the same square. But he made a bingo card of things that we say or things that we do or whatever it is. So you can play bingo with us and you know, tell us if you win. There aren't any prizes, at least, I don't know, maybe a bobblehead or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Find the right place.
But go to the thread, and it was the last show thread that it was in.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last episode thread.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that you can add. I noticed the one thing that wasn't on that card was a square that says "could be worse." Register trademark.
Yeah,
there isn't one of those. So if there's something else that you want to add, by all means, feel free to do so. But you can play bingo and. Have a little fun while we're doing this. Maybe you guys can laugh as hard as I made these two yeah, laugh just a few moments ago.
So let me get this straight now with that cash register sound. If I say Canadian Tire Center.
Uh-oh.
That immediately has to get followed with cash register.
Nah.
No?
One's good.
Oh.
Fine.
Well, unless you want them both at the same time.
Oh, okay.
That could be interesting. Well, we'll see.
I'm going to be busy.
We're going to be pointing at you a lot. You know, okay, 3, 2. Okay, there's one coming up in 3, 2. Yeah.
Game on!
We have, we're not really doing game summaries. I just have notes on a few games that we can talk about, at least things that happened in them. I'm not going to summarize them all, other than the score themselves. But
you're enjoying that drink, though?
I am, actually. This is surprisingly good.
Oh, why is that a trademark?
So we're having a beer. I think that's one of the
things. Is that one of the squares? I don't know. Tonight is brought to you by, so the listeners can play along.
Whatever was left in my fridge.
It's brought to you.
Because it's too freaking cold and everything is closed.
Yes. It's brought to you by Flying Monkeys Optical Illusion, Rickard's White, and Shock Top Raspberry White. So in other words, whatever was left in pants.
Raspberry
fridge.
White?
It's a raspberry white ale, yeah.
Raspberry White?
Would you like to read it?
Can you read it?
What does that say? Raspberry?
Whip.
You know exactly what I'm doing.
White. White. White.
Cool white.
Cool whip.
Moving on. Game 50. Was
when the tanks are rolling, the Karina stops.
Game 50 was the Senators' 2-1 loss versus the Capitals. It was the big point of this game was it was Chris Phillips breaking Daniel Alfredson's all-time games played record for the Ottawa Senators at 1179.
Yep. Congratulations, Chris Phillips. Now bench him.
Yeah.
Well, he's injured, but the neat thing actually that he mentioned, Chris Phillips was on the radio at one point during the day. And it was kind of a poignant moment that before this, we were going, oh, I can't believe the coach benched him so that he would, the game before was the one in Jersey, I think it was. So that he would have this game at home. But it was a sad excuse, but I'm glad he did it because
I am too.
Because this particular day would have been Chris Phillips' father's 70th birthday.
Oh, really?
His father died a few years ago.
Oh, that's nice.
But he just mentioned that on the radio. I'm like, well, you know, if my dad was still with us, he would have been here, and it would have been his 70th birthday, which would have been kind of cool.
If I recall, too, because I think his father, by the time that Chris was drafted, lost his vision. It's all from diabetes.
Yeah. Chris Phillips actually took a year off playing junior hockey to take care of his
dad?
Parents.
Yeah. Okay.
Then he went back to playing junior and got drafted.
Yeah, because he lost his vision, and then I think he, if I'm thinking of the right guy, and then he lost his legs also to diabetes.
Not sure.
So it's
but it was a good moment.
Yeah.
Good moment. The funny quote of the day was actually from Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin in the press conference before the game, he said, oh, it's a thing for Chris Phillips. How many games has he played? When he was told it was 1,179, his response was, Jesus, that's a lot of games.
I missed that.
I thought that was a good quote. So that's all I have to say about that game.
He's a good interview.
Yeah.
Well, with that too, because they brought Alfredson back for the ceremony. And they also brought Wade Redden.
That's right.
So my question is there room for Redden on this team organization-wise?
How many ex-players do you need or do you want? And doing what?
The Oilers do it great.
Where's that got them?
I think you want to model after the Oilers right now.
No, I know. No. I think he's living out in Burnaby now, if I'm correct.
I don't think he's local. I think he retired. Burnaby, or is he one of the many who have a house in Kelowna on the lake?
Maybe.
Like all the other NHLers out there.
But even at that, like if he wants to do some scouting or something, just to.
Don't know.
Get him in the organization.
Could do.
I don't know.
Maybe. Listen, good to see him.
And most teams, really, all the executives are former hockey guys.
Yeah, it looked good. A couple lawyers. It looked good to see he and Daniel Alfredson both at the game for that. It was.
You just knew they were going to lose this game too because it's a special ceremony thing.
Well, they lost Daniel Alfredson's 1,000th.
Yeah,
they lost Daniel Alfredson's retirement game. They lost Chris Phillips' 1,000th game.
No, Phillips won that one on his own.
He got two.
Oh no, he won that one. That's right. Well, who's other? They lost another 1,000 game. Well, Leghorn's 1,000.
Alfredson's 1,000.
They lost that one.
Hoser's 1,000th point.
That was against us, yeah.
Anyway,
it was fun. Next game was game 51. That was the Blue Jackets were in town. The Senators lost 4-1. It was a very boring game for the first two periods. There was some good work by both goalies, but it was a very boring game.
Yeah,
good tank game. If you're into
it, was there was the, this was the game great where Robin Lehner had a bit of a tantrum at the end of the game because he had a couple of bad goals in the third period and he didn't. It didn't go very well.
Yeah, people are mad at that.
Yeah. Well, it was an empty net then, just the floater with a couple seconds left.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, the first goal.
They were still in the game.
The first goal was a bad one. The Foligno one, which was the second one, was gorgeous. Like, stupidly beautiful. It was the one before that. The first goal was an unfortunate one.
I don't remember.
Then the empty net, then the ugly one, the floater in the last second.
But I don't mind Leonard being upset. I like his quote. He said, when interviewed after the game, says, well, the moment you see me not being upset, that's when you should start worrying.
I suppose.
When he stops caring.
I suppose. Anyway.
We've seen too many just
it made some great video mimes that were done. It was replacing the goalie stick. What did I see? Like a lightsaber broken. There was another one.
Batman.
Yes.
I don't understand the reference to breaking Batman, but okay.
It's Bane. Bane. He breaks Batman's back.
Who?
The bad guy in the third.
I don't think you watch his movies.
Oh, I haven't watched all of them. No. Okay. That now I understand. Thank you. I was looking at it going, there's got to be something about this that I don't understand. There's a reason why I don't understand it, but I didn't know what it was.
Kids these days, eh?
I know. They're all high in the suburbs.
Clearly. These are near downtown. Next game was game 52, which would have been last Tuesday.
Sure.
Buffalo versus Ottawa. the 2-1 win. This was the game where Borowiecki got a stick up a bit on Coletta, and then Coletta on the next shift went over to have a little talk with Borowiecki.
Oh,
and Borowiecki said, "Oh no, we're not talking." And dropped his gloves and just absolutely pounded on him while Coletta was trying to sucker him into a penalty without having to fight him. Didn't work very well.
That second period.
The second period, that was where the Senators got outshot 21-4.
By the Sabres.
They also had a 3-on-1, and Erik Karlsson decided to make a cute play rather than shoot. Not impressed. It's 3-on-1.
It's like they were trying to tank.
Shoot.
But then they realized this is Buffalo. You cannot out-suck the Sabres.
You can't lose to them.
You can try as much as you can. It's not going to work.
Yeah. MacArthur hit a crossbar in the second period. That was one of the few shots that actually made it on goal. And at the end of the game, the Senators were outshot by Buffalo by 10 shots. Ottawa won, but they were outshot by Buffalo. That's a pretty lame effort if you're getting outshot by Buffalo. However, the game after that, game 53, was the Penguins. This was the 5-4 shootout loss. This was the game where everybody was going, yeah, this is going to be ugly. And it kind of was, actually.
It was a mess. I missed the first, but it was a mess.
Oh, the first was bad. It was a 3-0 game by the end of the first.
Grice was getting lucky, too.
He was, but it was an ugly game. However, at the end of the first, the one thing that was very strange was Ottawa was absolutely destroying Pittsburgh in the faceoff dot. Actually,
really?
did for most of the game. Yeah, at the end of the first period, Lazar was 4-1, Legwand was 2-3, Turris was 3-0, and Zibanejad was 3-1. So it was 12-5.
That's interesting with Crosby Malkin.
Yeah, Crosby was terrible in the faceoff dot. I think for the game, he was 23% or 24% for the game. He just couldn't win a faceoff. They were rocking about it on the radio because I wasn't able to watch this one on TV. Halfway through the second period, the team had a grand total of 4 shots on goal for the period. Well done.
Sounds typical.
And then in the third period, they had 4 goals by Zibanejad, Hoffman, Stone, and Turris. Stone and Turris were the last two. They were 13 seconds apart. Impressive. I have to say, it was impressive that they scored 4 against Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's their backup goaltender. They scored 4 against Pittsburgh in a period.
Their defense is really bad.
Well, it's a team that's struggling, to be sure.
Their team defenses, and I know they lost a couple of guys too. Not that you would think that they're that great,
but part of the team. And in the shootout, Leonard stops 2, Greece stops 3. Game over. By the way, Erik Karlsson's time on ice for the game 31:35.
Oh,
wow!
Yeah. It's nothing compared to Subban.
ugly. And the most recent game. The game that everybody was hailing as, a great victory, and this shows what the team that can do.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
It was game 54. The Oilers were in town. It was a 7-2. It was a drubbing, to be certain, but it's against the Oilers. That's like celebrating a win against Buffalo. I don't care how bad our team is. You're supposed to beat
these
teams.
Was it that my buddy said it was, well, granted, this was more on the Sabres game, but it falls into here, too. It's like the third weakest kid in the schoolyard beats up the weakest kid in the schoolyard.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. It was MacArthur was out because of illness, and Cowan was out. JGP was in, and Weirkosh were in. And I thought it was interesting that my thought on this was because Milan Mikolajczyk had 2 goals and an assist, he was playing on the top line.
Maybe not.
Yeah, he was. He was playing with Stone and Turris.
I don't know.
And so he was scoring.
I think that's the second line now.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, anyway, he was doing well.
That's the issue with his team.
I was very impressed with his play, actually. His play of late's been pretty good.
He's done really well.
And he's been all over the lineup, up, down, left, right, wherever. He just goes out and plays. So, been very happy with him.
It sounded like an old Nintendo Condra.
Up, down, left, right, A, A, B, B.
B, A, B, A, select start.
So that's
probably is on his 1,000th life, too.
Yeah. That's it I had for the game summaries. Quick note. 18 months ago, everybody, and I say everybody, most Sens fans were up in arms because there were 5 players that needed to be signed, in their opinion.
18 months ago?
Well, about 18 months ago, 5 players needed to be signed.
Fair enough. The end of last season, at least.
Well, because didn't Anderson sign his extension during last season, not in the offseason?
No, this was this summer.
Was his during the summer?
Okay, you're just thinking of the summer.
Maybe it was only 12 months then. I thought it was 18.
No, it's
cause I thought
not
he was
even. It's
but only
9 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so the big
fiscal
five.
Year.
The big 5.
Yes.
Anderson, MacArthur, Ryan, Mathot, and Spezza.
Yep.
Now, Spezza was traded.
Yeah.
But we signed the other 4.
Yes. Problems solved. Well, thank you very much.
I believe the best comment I saw on Twitter today. Actually, sorry, I shouldn't say. I think this is the best comment I saw on Twitter today, and I think it's something that people should take to heart. Okay, the Sens can't afford to retain their narrative. Yeah, that's dead now, isn't it?
To retain their top skill.
We've paid to retain our top skill, and we paid them fairly.
Yes.
Yes.
That narrative is dead.
They haven't been overpaid like some players, people were saying that for today, for example, Mark Mathot, $4.9 million times 4 years.
Great deal.
Fantastic deal. A fair deal.
Limited.
Not
trade.
Overpaid. People are saying, oh, well, yeah, well, great. Well, he's getting a $1.5 million raise and people are calling this a victory. It's the right amount, in my opinion. It's the right amount.
An excellent contract.
We're not overpaying. We're not going, oh, okay, you want 7 years at $8 million.
Same thing with MacArthur, another great contract.
Good contract.
Anderson, very Ryan. Good value.
Turris's was a great contract. I really like Turris's contract.
Erik Karlsson, you want to go back a few years?
Karlsson's a steal, yeah.
We've got great contracts for a lot of these players.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, all I wanted to say was, I really like this deal today. I like the length of it. I like the...
That's what she said?
Yeah, she did. that's what a lot of people have said on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess that is one, isn't it?
I like the length. I like the terms. The limited no trade clause. Easy there, Sparky. What? Are you one of these teenagers who've been smoking up before we started this? Okay.
And when you examine the clause, like just the tip of the clause, it's... Take a long, hard look at it, you'll see that.
Okay. I agree, this is a great deal. And we've retained our talent. But it's not, outside of Karlsson, it's not really top talent.
Oh,
so how's the team going to improve?
I don't know.
I'd say Ryan is top talent. I would say MacArthur is a top six, maybe not a top three, but definitely a top
but
six.
But the thing is, we need to improve our top three.
Well,
that has to. We have no choice but to develop it.
I was going to say it's really easy to say that we need to find it, but nobody trades that.
Yeah, nobody's going to trade it, so you have to develop it.
You have to, and I think we have some good looking pieces.
Yeah, but to get those elite players. This is why I'm on the tank.
Oh, yeah.
I want a low pick, or high pick, low pick, whatever it is. I want a top five pick this year.
The trouble is we bottomed out too early. That game, you know, he talked about against Carolina, like all the right things. We went from 23rd to 26th. That'd be a perfect time. Hold the draft right then. But you can't suck for that long and not screw up your prospects. No. Like, what do you do?
Well, I looked at the rest of the schedule. There's very few games that we're playing against non-playoff teams.
Yeah, the schedule.
So it's going to be a rough ride.
Was easy for now, or easier. I think we're going back into the beginning of the season. Team's going out west.
But here's what's going to happen, though, is now the Sens players, they're out of the playoffs. Pressure's off. They're going to start playing for their jobs. And the teams that are in the playoffs are going to let up a little bit because they're playing a weak team.
They may let up a little bit, but I still think they're going to be wanting to win.
Of course.
I don't think they're going to let up at all.
It's like, easy 2 points. Let's just destroy these guys.
The West won't. That's for sure. Yeah, it's so tight.
Then Metro's pretty tight, too. But, like, one thing that, and this would also be depending in regards to how Nashville does, could you not, and granted, this schedule of things doesn't really work out, but can you not try to get someone like Cody Franzen for a 3-4?
Didn't he just get traded?
He just got traded.
Yeah, but he's a UFA. He hasn't signed yet. Chances are, especially if Nashville is doing well, and the fact that Nashville has zero income tax.
And they have cap room.
Tennessee? I don't know if they do.
Yeah, Tennessee is considered a poor state.
Sorry? A poor state?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you can...
Yeah, I just know their income tax is zero.
Low
which
tax
is why all these guys took $1 million contracts, because their bios are going to get taxed where they live.
Mm.
So it's a brilliant place to be. But if you get someone like that, and you can sign him.
Yes. It's a risk, but you...
So you want to replace who?
And then you can take... I don't want to give up CC, but maybe you can take Cowan and a bunch of other pieces to get a top three.
Top three what? Forward?
Forward.
And then the team looks a lot better.
But who? What kind of top three forward is out there?
But you can go to Edmonton and just get something.
They're not giving up anything.
They're going to give something up. They have to.
Did you want it?
Yeah, I'll take a Taylor Hall.
I take any of their guys.
I don't think they're going to give up anybody but Neil Yakupov. They're not giving up Eberle. They're not giving up Hall. They're not giving up Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
They're just going to run circles.
They're not. They can't. They've based the future of their team on those guys.
Who knows, right? And that's the thing. Or can you somehow get a Hossa? Which, although he's old.
He's too old. He's too old.
But he's still producing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But do you want to take over the rest of the long-term part of his contract?
I don't know how much it is.
It's got another 7 years on it.
What?
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the six or seven
recaptures.
He was one of the ones who was almost bought out because of the ridiculous length of the contract that he signed. He's one of the last ones of, I'll sign for, league minimum for the last 3 years to bring the cap hit down.
Yeah.
I think we have the talent in the team. It just needs to develop. This is a young team. It's a young team that needs to mature.
Top line, though.
Somebody has to have
a step up. We're close. And you've got a lot of very similar pieces.
Well, actually...
I'm not giving up on anybody like Hoffman or Stone.
No,
don't.
Well, then who are you going to give away that people are going to want to give you a top three for? Honestly, they're not.
Give one of those guys up.
Got to give something good to get something good.
Exactly. You have to trade something good for something good, and that's just the way it works. It's kind of like the Toronto Maple Leaf fans going, okay, well, we need to get rid of Phaneuf and we need to get rid of. Castle, and we need to get rid of this and this. And like, yeah, but you have to find somebody who wants them.
Yeah.
And the ridiculous lengths of those contracts is going to make it really difficult for somebody to actually want them. So
I think it was.
Oh, no. Their host has got 4 years left.
Pat, I think Owen at Sens Nation was mentioning in a conversation on Twitter, can you imagine if the organization had handled Alfredson, Spezza a little different, and Hemsky, and those pieces with the current roster? And the talent would be completely different.
Well, Alfredson would have been done.
Hossa has 6 years left. He's a UFA in 2022.
I don't like NHL numbers.
No, Cap Geek. Everybody's missing Cap Geek.
I don't understand this.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was using it before Cap Geek existed, so I guess that's why I'm okay with it.
Oh, well.
Well, granted, what, the money goes 7.9 next year, then 4, then 1, then 1. So if he retires.
There's your math.
It's still a cap hit. If he retires, it's still a cap hit.
To who?
To the team he retired on.
No.
Yes.
To the team that signed the contract.
Really?
They're responsible for the money. The cap hit is with the team that he retires with.
No.
If
Luongo retires, it hits Vancouver's cap.
They have to pay it. They have to pay the money that's left on his contract.
No, he retires.
Yes.
So you don't get paid anymore. Just review that, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, that it's the team that signs it.
The penalty is split between the two teams, one that signed it and the team that has it now, but both get hit with it. His cap hit stays with the team that he was retiring with, not just the team that signed it. I'm pretty sure it's split between the two. That's why when Luongo was moved, it was like, well, if he retires, it's going to affect both teams. Vancouver's still on the hook. Like, they're not scot-free just because they traded it to Florida. Anywho, I don't think it's all goes back to the old team. Even if it does... Still don't want him. Too much money going on for the player who's on a declining asset. Fun guy to have back because, fairly long time. Ottawa Senator. Good guy, but I don't want Marian Hossa. Nope. Yes?
I'm agreeing.
It's just an example. But I think we just need one guy from the outside to make this team better. And we've got a lot of guys.
Well, we have lots of potential player, yeah. But I don't see a team going, we have a top three, unless the cap doesn't go up, which is the threat that there may be teams that are stuck with contracts they have to get rid of. I don't think that there's going to be much chance of us picking up a top three, because what we need is not a winger. What we need is a number one center.
Would you have taken a gamble on that Vander Kane sweepstakes?
No, with this team.
Because that happened since our last show, right?
I wouldn't have. I believe I said it to you guys via text, but also in other conversations. No, I didn't want him.
And what special delivery you posted? No, thanks.
No.
Oh, I missed that. I'm going to have to read it.
Just a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like he wouldn't pay at restaurants and do the don't you know who I am thing. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, and weird.
He was adamant to wear number 9, and that was Gordie Howe's?
Brett Hall.
Bobby Hall.
Bobby Hall.
Bobby Hall's number that was retired by the Jets?
Huh. Like the posing with the money on the Las Vegas roof thing. Like,
it's you're 21 years old.
Yeah, and you know, someone else does it and they think it's brilliant, and yeah, he does it and they think it's foolish. Like that's not a concern.
The thing is, a rapper would do that and it'd be fine.
Or what's his name, buddy? The guy.
No, it would be fine with the demographic that thought that were fans of his.
Or Paul Bisnasty.
I would still think it's a jerk move.
I know, but he is a fan of that.
Don't care. Stuff. His public is not the same crowd as really worships the ground that rappers fall on. It's, you know, your average.
But again, he's 21.
No, but if like someone like Paul Bisnet had done that, everyone would have loved it. So
yes, because he's doing it as a joke, not doing it as an arrogant prick sort of thing to do.
Yeah.
And Evander Kane is doing it going, I have all this money, you don't, showing off. We know that Paul Bisnet doesn't make that much money. And
no.
He's just hilarious. He's just a funny guy. So he would be doing it like everything else he did on Twitter for a few years, just to be outrageous. He didn't mean anything by it. That's what made it funny.
Yeah.
Let's go. I don't think, excuse me, I don't think we're going to get a number one center from any team in the league.
Which is why we need to draft it.
So Buffalo.
I agree, but we're not going to be able to trade for one. We are not going to be able to trade for a number one center. So.
And that's why I'm on Team Tank.
Yes, but that won't make the team better next year.
No.
But it won't make the better
team. Will it make the team long term? Make the team better long term?
Should.
Yes.
It could,
but it's not going to make it better next year. So being on Team Tank to make the team better for next year, not going to happen.
Yeah, but this is a multi-stage thing.
Then your expectations for next year are the same as this year?
A little bit better than next year.
When do you expect to make the playoffs?
Because you got to look at the division. Boston's going to struggle. Detroit's struggling.
Buffalo's on their way up.
Buffalo's below us, but
they're on their way up.
Buffalo's got too many variables to be able to evaluate, but I don't think they'll be better than us next year. Montreal and Tampa are going to be the top of the division.
Is Montreal on their way down?
No. Not yet.
No.
Another couple of years, they will be.
They spiked up so quickly. With Carey Price.
They did. It's a lot of Carey Price.
But they look beatable.
Well,
it's funny.
They are if you can control the game. In my opinion, you can beat Montreal if you can control the game.
Like Ottawa seems to do well against them.
Yes,
other teams
because
don't.
We're bigger and almost as fast. The problem with Boston in the series last year was Boston was tired and Boston isn't as fast.
Yeah.
So Montreal just skated around them and Boston couldn't catch them. They were tired and they were hurt and they were older.
Yeah, Montreal and Toronto, Montreal and Tampa are going to take up two of the spots.
Yeah, for sure.
Boston might get in, and I really like what Florida's doing.
I think Florida's doing great.
So you're admitting our best case is a wild card next year, which I would
and then you
agree. And
you've got to compete case. With the Metro, and the Metro is real tough.
I don't see us making the playoffs for a couple of years, but I'm again.
But we'll at least be in the hunt while just being way out of it.
Not next year.
But the thing is that all these one-goal games, this is where the luck kind of comes in. And just getting those opportunities like what we did in the pesky Sens year. We were winning those one-goal games.
Yes.
This year we're losing all of them.
Pretty
so what do you need to
feels
tweak?
That way.
What do you need to tweak right now with the pieces that you've got to turn half of those games around?
Well, number one, we need Mark Methot healthy for the entire season.
Yep.
We need Craig Anderson healthy for the entire season.
Yep.
And we need... We need to just let some of our scoring wingers get older,
better
but we need a number
defense.
One center.
Better
no,
team defense.
I don't think, no, it's goal scoring.
Well, I would agree with you because we have too many shots against. We have too many shots against, so we do need better defense.
The team does make the defense better.
Yes.
But also McLean was just messing everybody up.
Well,
I don't think he's been much better with Cam.
I was going to say, I don't think he was messing everybody up any more than they were messing themselves up because as of right now, before tonight's game, Dave Cameron and Paul McLean have exactly the same record this year. 11-11-5.
Did we expect anything different with Dave Cameron?
A lot of people did.
No,
we
expected. It's all the coach's fault. He's been alienating players and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's not going to make a particle difference.
I expected a lot worse out of Cameron, to be honest, but I know why McLean had to go.
Yeah. Something has to give.
I don't think it's going to make a particle of difference next year because our players are still very young. Very. When you look at the number of, take Chris Phillips out of the equation and our blue line doesn't have 1,000 games combined.
Yeah.
Combined, they don't have 1,000 games. That's like 10 seasons or 12, whatever. 12 and a half.
There's going to be some small move here soon, if
not
summer.
I said that last year, that I was going to be surprised if Wirkosh and Greiber were on the team. And I mean, I'm surprised they've made it this far.
I have no idea why they're still here.
Because they haven't been able to engineer a deal to move them.
But, yeah.
Simple as that.
Good enough to move them. Like, yeah. Don't move them for a bag of pucks. There's no point.
Exactly. But. Don't move them for nothing. I mean, okay, since we're talking trades, I can't believe the Toronto Maple Leafs got a first round pick back in the trade for Franzen and Santarelli, who are both UFAs. Thank you. There's another square on the board. It blew my mind that they actually managed to engine. Now it's going to be a fairly low first round pick.
Was it Nashville?
No, because that depends on how you do in the playoffs.
Yes. But I don't think Nashville's going to be going out in the first round.
No, true.
So it may be a fairly late first
pick. They shouldn't. They're a great team now.
I don't think they will. I think they're a little too strong to go out that early. But they still managed to get a first round pick for two UFAs.
I don't know how.
Impressive.
I think they really
pulled that off.
But they also know these guys. So I think that Nashville sees a lot of value in these guys regardless.
They're the two, I would say they were two of the better players on that team. I would have taken Cody Franzen.
Yeah.
I'd still take him, but we don't have space on the blue line without moving other players out first. So there's no point in saying, I want to sign him.
Yeah, not now. But
there's no space for him.
No, but you'll have the draft and everything beforehand, so you can move some of these guys out.
I also would like to give the opportunity to a couple of other players from Binghamton to try and make the team.
Yep.
Because we did that last year. I mean, we've graduated a player from Binghamton almost every year for the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because Borowiecki, Greiba, Wirkosh, Cowan even played down there for a little while, CeCe, Carlson played down there a little bit in his first season. Like, they've all come through Bingo. Carlson doesn't really count, but almost everybody else does. So what about Clayson? What about Weidman?
Yes.
I'd like to give them a chance.
Yeah, and that's...
So we need to move some pieces around.
You need to move guys to take a risk on to see them. But these are guys you need to see this year. You absolutely need to see them this year.
Got to move some bodies out first.
It sucks.
I don't know what to do with that. But it's the same with forwards. I'd love to see. I'm very pleased that we're going to be seeing Shane Prince tonight. Mm-hmm. Very pleased. Now, he's taking...
Could not resist.
Not bad. I was actually thinking one king, one prince, not two princes. We already have a king.
Who's the king?
The one we hail with our opening theme music.
Hail's the king. Actually, Steve on Sen said that brilliant tweet today. Mm-hmm. Should trade Shane Prince to, what was the guy in LA? The last name is King, just to see the brilliant newspaper headlines. You know, trading Prince for King.
Oh, to the kings.
To the kings.
The kings trade a king for a prince. You can have some fun with that. Okay, fair enough. Nope. I'm happy to see him up here. He's taken a few years to develop, and I think he's probably ahead of Matt Pumple, from what I've been hearing in two different
interviews. He's scoring a hell of a lot more, too.
Well, you Matt Pumple's had a bit of a difficult season, according to an interview with Grady Wittenberg on the radio last week, or this week.
You missed the Binghamton game yesterday.
I listened to part of it, but okay. I had things to do yesterday afternoon, so I didn't make it out to the arena, unfortunately.
Well, JGP got a couple goals. I think Colin Greening got a goal.
Colin Greening scored 27 seconds into the game.
Yes.
Yeah. JGP had a shorthanded goal, and then he had a shorthanded empty net goal.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was an empty net.
It's like, okay, this sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, the three stars of the game were Colin Greening, Scott Greenham, and Jean-Gabriel Pageau. And the game ended. It was a 5-2 win. The game ended with 34 shots apiece, but after the second period, Binghamton was being outshot 27-18.
Yeah,
so they still had 16 shots in the third period. Well played, impressive. And Jean-Gabriel Pageau was not wearing number 44 yesterday.
14
was wearing 14.
Yeah,
they didn't have a 44.
Oh, is that
they didn't have a 44 sweater with them because he hasn't been with them.
It was the Do It for Darren jersey, so they didn't have that.
They didn't have one for him because he hasn't been down there.
Oh, okay. But I've got two of these for you. I've got two 14s for you.
Exactly. So Shane Prince is playing tonight, since we're talking about.
But that's 28.
I'm looking forward to that.
And he's wearing number 10. Why is that
funny?
That's
a good joke. I've got two 14s.
I don't get it.
Wouldn't that be 28?
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going
with
this.
He's always got two jerseys.
Oh.
Never mind. Just take the numbers and you can pick
them. Yeah. Wow, that was a 747 for me.
Wow.
Right over my head. Wearing number 10 tonight.
Okay, why is 10 a curse?
It's doomed. Mike Lundin.
Darcy Lohan. Andreas Dackel. Sean Donovan. Oh, all number 10s.
Oh, who else was it?
Those are the only four I can come up with.
Because Julie used to make fun of the number 10 all the time.
I can't remember who else.
What was his name? Zvatos.
Marek Zvatos? Was he 10? Well, yep. He was only here, what? He was a...
Yeah, I know. He started to play well, and then he got concussed.
Yeah, he wasn't here very long.
Because we're in number 10. But...
Ouch.
It's good to finally being able to see some of these guys.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am. Speaking of, actually, since we were just talking about, this is going to be a very disjointed show, but I'm doing the best I can.
That's what I do.
With talking about, you know, we need a high draft pick to really fill out, like, would be an asset to this team. I agree it would, but there was, I think it was a broadcast I was watching last week, and I don't even think it was a Sens game. I just happened to tune into some game that was on TV, and they were talking about how many players were on the team were first-round draft picks. And do you remember when Brian Burke did this?
Yes.
Oh, we got so many first-round picks on our team. This is a great team. They were all first-round draft picks that nobody wanted. The teams that had them traded them to Toronto because they didn't want them anymore. But he was making a big deal about this.
He was also wrong, though. Remember, because I counted them out.
Well, was that in our first season, or was that
No, that was on the SU.
That's what I thought. I was going, I remember doing this, but I can't remember what episode it was.
Math.
Okay, yeah. That's what it was. Okay. Because I remember that, and I couldn't remember when it was that it happened. I decided to go through our roster.
Okay.
We have 10 first...
It starts going league-wide, doesn't it?
We have 10 first-round picks on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are ours, obviously.
Yep. Leg one and McCulloch.
Leg one, McCulloch. So that would be Nashville and San Jose.
Mathot?
Wrong.
No, Mathot was in a second.
Kyle Turris.
Yes.
With Arizona. Bobby Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim. Curtis Lazar, Cody Ceci, Jared Cowan, Chris Phillips, and Eric Carlson.
Yeah, we need a couple more.
So that was the 10 first round picks. And there were, now I have to include Jean-Gabriel Pajot and Shane Prince. Yes, and Zibanejad, sorry.
Yeah.
The other 15 players, 4 were second round picks.
Good.
Chiasson for Dallas. Yeah. Patrick Wierkosz, Robin Leonard. And Shane Prince.
That's it?
That's it.
I thought we had a lot more second
round picks. Those are the only... we have 4 second round picks on the team at the moment. We have 4 third round picks on the team. Clark MacArthur. Picked by Buffalo. Mm. Zach Smith. Eric Greiba. And Craig Anderson. Now, Craig Anderson was a third round pick twice.
Calgary, Chicago.
Exactly. 99 and 2001.
Why do I know this?
We have 1 fourth round pick on the team, Jean-Gabriel Pajot. We have 2 fifth round picks on the team, Mike Hoffman and Mark Borowiecki.
Mm. Oh, wow.
We have 3 sixth round picks on the team, Mark Stone, Chris Neal, and Mark Mathot.
He was sixth?
Sixth.
Wow.
By Columbus. And we have 1 seventh round pick. It's the one player we haven't mentioned so far, Eric Condra. I had no idea that Mark Mathot was a sixth round pick. That's in my mind.
Some good picking there, son.
I think it was a strong year too, but geez.
But 15 out of 20 players on this team were not first round picks.
So let's get some picks for this deep draft.
And that's what Edmonton screwed up.
Well, Edmonton screwed up by always picking the best player, not the player they need.
No, but they'd always do well in the first round. And then forget about everything else.
Well, yes, because it's so obvious to pick the first overall. You've got 3 first overall picks.
They've never gone off the board. They never traded it.
No, but
and they've all worked out. They're all good players except for Yakupov. But
and he's coming around, but they need more than that. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Oh, let's keep drafting wingers. Okay. Whatever. Maybe you want to take a look at what the rest of your team needs, but anyway, I just thought that was a little interesting thing to look at because I didn't have the energy and patience and drive to go and look at all the subsequent draft rounds and see what else is coming up. But I thought it was interesting just to look at. Quickly on, before we go to the rest of the league, Brian Murray. I forgot a little trivia tidbit during our last recording, which was February 3rd.
He was an 8th round pick?
No. But on February 3rd, 1968. Now, we were last recorded on February 3rd. But February 3rd, 1968, Brian Murray was the leading scorer in the Ottawa Valley Senior Hockey League playing for the Shawville Combines. At 14 goals and 20 assists and 38 points. Also, did you see the picture of him today signing the contract with Mark Mathot?
Yes.
He looked pretty good, I thought.
Not bad.
He's feeling well.
Well, there's actually been talk that he may stick around for next year because apparently his treatments, he's doing very well. It hasn't been a lot of talk, but I heard it on the radio yesterday, and it was also mentioned on the TV.
Is it the cancer spread, right?
Oh, it's everywhere. Okay. But the treatment that he's receiving, he's seems to be responding to pretty well.
I'm fine with him as long as he wants to do it.
Yeah. But I was impressed with how good he looked because compared to him sitting next to Daniel Alfredson, what was that, 2 months ago?
He was probably on chemo that time.
Yeah, he looked really, really drawn. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Now he looked not his... He's lost weight that he's not going to put back on.
He's probably went off of it.
But he looked much better, I thought.
Hmm. Quick I saw note. Him yesterday where Did I you? Was sitting at the Binghamton game. He was in the box right behind me.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Where we're sitting tonight, actually.
Oh,
now, right. Murray won't be behind us.
But he'll be up in the sky somewhere, yeah. I would think. Quick notes on Binghamton. They're not having a good season. They're 20-23-5-1. So they're in last place in the East Division. They have hired Fred Braithwaite as a goaltending coach, though.
What was the name?
Freddie Braithwaite?
Braithwaite.
Depends on...
Local guy went to Nepean High School.
Oh.
Gloucester. Gloucester.
Yeah, went to Gloucester.
Not Andrew Castles. Mark Castles.
I think he went to school with...
he was the goalie coach Sean for Simpson. The World Juniors.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around and up and down, so...
Yeah, he was a goalie. Freaking Freddie. He jumped in front of everyone and lied down in front of the goalies for the picture.
Oh, yeah. He's that's a
character
right.
guy.
He's just like, get him back.
He's a character guy. Tobias Lindberg, who was our fourth round pick in 2013, has set the Oshawa Generals record for most points in a season from someone selected in the import draft. He's got, now when I wrote this down, it was last week, it was 58 points in 49 games. Wow. Oshawa's a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oshawa's a very good team in the OHL this year. So he's doing well, and he's a right winger who shoots left.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
He's dragging.
It's one of those, really? Okay.
It's great for a one-timer.
Only other note I had
put
on
that was advantage on, actually, and that'll be pretty freaking nice.
Well, we'll see. He's young. He'll probably play in Binghamton for a year. Be good for him, but... this was actually, I think, 10 days ago. Vincent Dunn, our fifth round pick in 2013, is suspended again for 5 games. It was either his fifth or sixth suspension in the queue.
I'm pretty sure his career is done. Yeah!
I have to see. But, yeah, he's not doing so well as far as not getting... Now, to be fair, CHL suspensions, some of them are automatic. Like Travis Konecny of the Ottawa 67s got one the other day for slew footing. It was a bit of a questionable slew foot. He still got automatically suspended for 2 games.
CHL's great.
Yeah, done. That's just smart.
Well, I think it's smart. It's just, so 5 suspensions in the CHL might be 2 in the NHL.
Yes.
Depending what New Jersey you've got on.
Exactly. And who you were doing it against as well.
And who you're having shots with and a drink with the night before.
Yeah. Who'd you do shots with the night before? That's right. Oh, let's go out with the ref. That'll work well. Anything else you want to talk about for the Senators?
Chris Neal?
Oh, Chris Neal. I'd forgotten that. My notes are a little scattered.
He literally punched himself out of getting traded.
Well, he didn't really want to be traded to begin with.
No, nope. That's true.
So,
but I just kind
of that was a hell of a tilt. That was one of the best, like, full-on scraps I have seen in a while. Like, I don't know exactly what caused it, but they were chucking them.
Yeah. It's just the Edmonton guy had to change the...
Change the tempo. Momentum.
Yep.
Holy cow. They were both throwing them hard. I was like, ooh, that was quite the spirited tilt. That wasn't a wrestling match with a little bit of rabbit punching. That was like full arm swinging bombs.
Yeah. Bone breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's having surgery on his thumb.
Oh, it's that bad, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Unfortunately.
But it's, I don't know. It's, I'm fine. I'm fine with him on the team.
I have no issue.
I would
with
rather him. Well, you could probably get a good like pick him. Out of it, but I'd rather have him succeed.
Exactly.
Well, who else are you going to put on the ice?
Friends and flesh
and when it's a minute left, you're down a goal and you pull your goalie. You need Chris Neal for that.
It works.
The listeners cannot see Pan's face.
Oh, he's headbutting the
seriously
microphone.
Just put McCulloch out.
It's really bad. Before we go on to the rest of the league, Canuck, why don't you read the email we got in? Because there's a lot of rage in it, and might get a little bit more talking point, a few more talking bits out of it that before we go on to the rest of the league.
Sure.
And I can rest my voice for a few minutes.
Oh, this is long.
It's a long email, but it's a good one. Email from Michael McCormick. Boys, I cannot hold in my rage any longer. This team and mostly this organization has made me crazy over the years, but this year I'm downright angry. Time to rant. A few years back, I liked what the team was doing, and I thought there was a real plan in place. The team was going to emulate Detroit, put in an organizational-wide philosophy, and stick to it. We had great coaches in place, McLean in Ottawa and Richardson in Binghamton. The scouting and drafting were proving to be top shelf. Then the monumentally stupid move of not signing Alfie. Why it happened, I'm still not sure, but we're still dealing with it. It forced the team to give Jason Spezza the captaincy, though he clearly didn't have the tools. It forced McLean to try and deal with the players differently because the go-between was lost. Last season was pretty much done before it started. This season, it felt like Phillips was given an extension to try to keep his veteran presence around. Spezza was gone by mutual consent, and in the long run will probably work out best for us. Carlson's a captain because probably he's the best choice short and long term. But he's still a kid, and he's not the kind of presence or personality of someone like a Taze or Alfie. The team struggles, so we fire the coach. Is that a Detroit move? Dave Cameron seems like a good man and smart hockey guy, but to me, he sounds like pretty much every other coach out there. Play safe, structure, defense, chance to win, blah, blah, blah. No doubt McLean has faults, and it seemed like he knew that every player has different skills and was trying to and willing to try to adapt them to make them a better team. Could Carlson have won the Norris under any other coach, or would he have been used like he is now? Sounds like Cameron wants him to play safe, limit mistakes, and maybe get a point or two in the power play. Meanwhile, the leading goal scorer is put on the fourth line and grinders are getting more ice time. We lose and lose and play boring hockey. So now we have a GM who's leaving with no obvious successor, because he's in Buffalo, a new coach who might be good, and is likely mediocre, a Canadian dollar in free fall, and some glaring holes in both personnel when they're playing on the ice. Think next year is going to be better? Why? However, all is not lost. Here's my fix it now plan. Let's get 5 points here. Number one, hire Alfie, assistant GM, GM, king, benevolent overlord, president of all things senatorial, mayor, something. We need him. Carlson needs him. The highlight of this season was his return. To me, the low point is Chris Phillips breaking his record for most games played, then getting sat the next game. Inspiring. Number two, sign Mathot. Grow up and get it done. Well, done. That's done. Number three, realize that Craig Anderson is the present and future in the net. He's great value and might be the best we've ever had in that position. Number four, figure out who the next GM is and figure out the organizational plan. Now, I have faith that Brian Murray is doing that, but I sure don't want him around if we're deciding on the future of a coach. Number five, hope. There. Needed to get that out. Thanks for being there for me.
Thank you for the email, Michael. Yes. You got a lot of stuff in there.
Hire Alfie. I agree. Get him in the org.
The good thing about Alfie leaving, and I know I've mentioned this before, if he would have been an all-time senator, what would be the pressure for him to be the next GM or the next president?
He shouldn't be the next GM or the next president.
I agree. President would be okay.
Nope. Benevolent he overlord? Doesn't have,
the president of a team should be somebody with business acumen, not a hockey player.
He apparently does great at negotiating contracts.
Or his agent does.
I know.
I wouldn't have...
You've got like Sakic and...
I wouldn't mind having Alfie in some sort of VP role.
Yeah,
just like what Shanahan did in Detroit.
Under Cyril Leader, I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah,
or yeah, some sort of business operation or hockey operation, something.
Granted, yeah.
Ticket guy.
Well, no.
You know
hey, thank you for calling Capital Tickets. This is Daniel.
How can I help you?
No, but
okay, now I got these two great seats. They're in the Coca-Cola zone.
I don't know if you guys saw him at the...
You're wanting some seats down the 100s?
Yeah, no,
do we have any? Probably not.
Is that view obstructed? Probably not.
That's all I got. No, I don't have a problem with hiring him. I think that he will be eventually.
Did you see him in his retirement game going around the stands in the boxes? Hmm? He went from box to box during the game.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't notice that.
It's all business and PR.
Oh, good for him.
So.
Well, it did say
a stepping stones.
So
no, he's coming back.
Yeah.
He will be. At some point, I'm sure he will be, because the organization wants him and he wants to be here. So between the organization wanting him and him wanting to be here, it'll happen.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. I just don't want him to be put into the position like, let's make him the next GM. He knows nothing about being a GM. Everyone's complaining. You know,
it's too soon when you've played with the players too.
Well, more than that.
Turn into the Islanders.
He knows nothing about the role. Nothing. Because people are saying, oh no, we can't have Lee or who are the two AGMs right now?
Dorian.
We can't have either of them as the next GM. They don't have enough experience. Okay. Now, if you're going to say that, you want to turn around and give a hockey player who's never worked as an executive a day in his life, you want to make him the GM?
Yeah,
are you insane?
I wouldn't want to make him the GM also, because you're going to have to fire him at some point.
It's as crazy as Brendan Shanahan being considered the savior of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The man has never had an executive position with a hockey team in his life. He's hired to be the president of the team and is expected to fix everything when he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, because he's never had any job like that before.
He'll fit in just fine there.
Well, he fits in with a lot of other people in MLSE, to be certain. Yeah, but
most teams are like this, though. Most of them are.
By the way, Pan, I like your Sens Valentine on Saturday.
Thanks.
The pitcher. Did you see this?
Yes. Yeah. That was well played.
Alfredson.
I like that. Now, as for the rest of this email, let's tie back to this just a little bit.
Might have taken in 3 hours.
It was a very good email, actually. I agree that Craig Anderson is the present and future in net, at least in the immediate future.
2 years?
Yeah.
After this one?
2 years after this one?
Yeah.
He'll only be 34 by that point.
And it's goalies, you never know.
It's goalies, you never know, but it depends on whether Robin Leonard is playing better by then. Because if he's playing the way he's playing now,
he'll be better, I'm sure.
He'll be an adequate goalie.
I'd rather stick with Craig Anderson at 34 than an adequate goalie with Robin Leonard.
But the thing is, you still have both of them anyways.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be going, okay, we don't need him anymore.
The thing is, you have the option.
Yes. And he is...
Options are good.
He is...
Options, yeah.
Craig Anderson is the starting goaltender for this team. It's not a 1A, 1B. Okay. It's an A and a B.
I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I've got patience with Leonard.
As do I, but he has to earn it. And his play is not earning it at the moment.
Oh, I think he's been done fine.
He's gotten better.
Didn't like his Pittsburgh game.
He's not as bad. I don't know if he's gotten better. He's not as bad.
It's because he's not getting the long breaks between games.
Hmm.
He's been a bit more consistent, but he needs to work on being bigger and not being down in the butterfly when somebody is still way out. He doesn't.
But he's also improved that, because he doesn't.
It's not as bad.
Fail.
It's not as bad, but it's not where it needs to be. So it'll take some time. As far as Dave Cameron, I'll give him some rope for now.
Dave Cameron's going to cost us Luke Richardson.
Yep.
I agree. Luke's under contract one more year.
Unless you get promoted, then you're just allowing them to walk away.
There's a lot of talk about Richardson and being a fit in Buffalo.
I'm sure there is talk about it, but it's whether he wants to do it.
And it's not fan talk. It's... commentator talk.
Yes. Okay. It's John Brennan and
No. It's all over the place.
But it's lots of people who are talking about it because it's a good story.
It's a good story. It kind of fits.
Buffalo is from Cornell either.
Not close.
Yeah, but not far. Like,
well, Buffalo.
A few hours, like whatever.
Exactly. Binghamton's.
It's about double distance for what he is now, right?
Binghamton's what, 45 minutes?
About an hour to what, Ithaca, is it?
Yeah.
So it's going to be now like, what, 3.5 hours?
3.5, 4 hours.
It's not local traffic reference now. We're doing upstate New York.
I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
Excuse me, not 100% sure.
But it's not unreasonable.
When you were in fourth year, did you really want your pants here? 2 hours, 45.
Well,
that's not bad.
Dave Cameron might cost us Luke Richardson. Yeah. But Dave Cameron was hired because Luke Richardson didn't want to move this year. So if it came down to it.
Not necessarily, though.
If it came down to
it. No, it's because.
He's also already under contract. Yeah.
Now, Luke Richardson might not have even been given the option.
He said he didn't want it. He wasn't given the option, but he said he also didn't want it.
So he wasn't given the option?
No, he wasn't. But he also said he didn't want it.
If
he
had.
He learned from Chris Phillips not to say that you wanted it, because then you're going to get burned.
Yeah, I was the captain. Then you get burned.
I wanted the head coach job, but they didn't offer it to me. Boom!
Yeah.
That would go very bad.
I take his word for it. That, you know, it wasn't offered to him.
There's a little bit of political say in there.
Well, the team already has two coaches under contract. Why would they want a third? Because he's the coach of the AHL.
Company.
Yeah. And if you were Luke Richardson, would you want to come up here and still have Dave Cameron working as an assistant underneath you?
No.
That was a bad arrangement from the beginning for Paul McLean, and Paul McLean made it work for what, two seasons?
The Buffalo situation might be a lot more lucrative for Luke Richardson, too.
Could be. But it also...
Come on, knock on our door.
I don't think the coach that goes into Buffalo next year is going to be the coach in Buffalo in 3 years. He's the coach in there is going to get the start of the rebuild, but they're not going to be there when it bears fruit. They're not going to do another Lindy Ruff.
No.
They're not.
That time in the league is...
Yeah.
You don't see it now.
Barry Trotz, Lindy Ruff, that's not going to happen again. So whoever goes in there next year has got two maybe three seasons, and then bye. But and somebody else will reap the benefits. Though.
And unless you're Corey Clouston, you'll find another job easily.
So one of the big points Michael brought up in his email is the abandonment of what seems to be like the Detroit model. Do we think we've abandoned that?
I don't think we have.
No.
Outside of Lazar? And even at that.
Well, Lazar would have had to go back to junior.
Lazar was the exception.
Well, he would have had to go back to junior. He couldn't go to the AHL.
I know.
I think they mismanaged him at the start of the year. They sent him to the World Championships, which was the right move. He excelled there.
Yep.
And then they slowed him down again.
Well, he's not playing in a role that would suit him.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's playing.
So they didn't put him in that role.
Well, they can't. They can't put him in a top six center role.
No, but they've moved him to the wing, too.
Yeah. Well, sometimes he's the center, sometimes he's the wing. It depends on the game.
Most of the time he's been, I would say probably 80 to 90% of the time he's been on the wing.
Well, it depends on who, oops, that was me, sorry.
Yeah, who's hurt or whatever.
But. Exactly, because he was playing center more than, well, it was either him or Jean-Capital Pageau or David Leguan, two of the three. So, spin the wheel, who's sitting out, who's going where with whom?
I was like, just get him some power play time. He hasn't had a second.
Maybe they will, but it's hard, our power play's been pretty bad.
Yeah, sure. So why not take a chance?
Well, it's the old, we want to switch everything up or everything is getting juggled. You know, yes, keep things steady or constantly juggle them and go with that.
I just think the way that they're using him, there was no point in keeping him.
I agree. And I said that at the beginning of the season. There's no point in keeping Curtis Lazar. And nobody agreed with me. That's okay. I said, send him back after nine games. There's no point in keeping him. It's going to be a waste. Blah, blah, blah. No. We're keeping him. We want to have him. Okay.
Well, even those nine games, he was still getting some good assists. But then that...
There was no point in keeping him here.
Yeah.
No point.
My entertainment.
With his 5 minutes a night?
Entertainment.
With his 5 minutes a night?
Yes. Okay. I get all excited when he comes on the ice. He does one skate up the ice, and then he goes for a line change. So,
He does give really good interviews. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
He is one of the most entertaining interviews because he's just, you can hear him. It's a radio interview. You can still see a smile. It's in your head, but you can still see it.
There's actually a funny note on that, and you'll see it tonight because they'll probably show the Bell Let's Talk commercial again. They keep showing it. Well, okay. Yesterday was the Do It For Darren. They're doing with Binghamton. So they showed that again. So maybe not.
Oh, okay.
But they're holding up the signs, the different players, and they all have a very serious face on them. And Curtis Lazar is the other one. He just cannot hide the smile.
I think he's up to like 12 minutes on average, but.
Yeah. It's been a waste keeping him here.
It's just a disaster.
Send him to Binghamton next year.
Lazar?
Yep.
If you're not going to change the roster around.
He can't get top 6 minutes here. You know, send him to top 6 minutes in Binghamton.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Bring him up.
He won't like the salary difference, but he's already got his $71,000 truck, so he's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he needs to play more in those situations.
He would play way more in Bingo.
What kind of truck does he have?
Ford F-150. Oh, no. It's a, Jim K. Lincoln, so it's a Ford F-150.
Wow.
Did he pay for that one?
Yeah, it was an interview with him on the radio, I think it was, that he was
just
out
did,
there.
He did a signing there.
Well, he did signings there, and he's one of the people who did some stuff. But yeah, apparently he's trying to get all the other players to get into the super lifted, the trucks that they drive in Alberta, because that's where he's from, right?
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Everybody buy a truck like mine. It's good for business.
Tricked out truck.
When we were last talking, we were talking about the TV
deal. Did we touch
everything? The money, what's that?
Did we touch everything on the email?
I think so.
Okay, good.
When we were last talking, we were talking about the money from the TV deal. And I was fairly certain, and we all thought it was going to be in US dollars.
It should be.
I think we might be wrong. And here's why. Rick Westhead from TSN, very reputable source, tweeted out, I think it was late last week, a 90 cent Canadian dollar means about $12 million in Canadian national TV money per NHL team. A 75 cent dollar would pare that down by $2 million. Okay. So I think the TV deal is in Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
But because the teams pay everything in U.S. dollars.
And that's why your cap is getting impacted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because the TV money is Canadian dollars.
It's because of the TV deal.
Yep. So I think our thinking was right. We just had one little piece of it that was wrong. And that's part of the...
Which makes sense because you're Rogers? Yeah, so Rogers' revenue would still be in Canadian dollars. So they've got to offset that with Canadian dollar contract.
Yes. Well, the national TV is... we're talking about the national TV deal?
Which is Rogers.
Which is Rogers. The regional ones are either TSN or Rogers. It depends on the team. Ours is TSN.
Yes.
Yeah. But those are Canadian
dollars.
Yeah,
but that's also regional, so that's an easy fix here.
Yep.
Okay.
It could get messy. We'll see. Maybe we will be able to find a team that wants to give away a number two center that we can use as number one.
No. I want my three first round picks.
Okay. A couple of other quick things about other teams. This won't take too long. Yeah, we need to get moving here. We got to get out of here. Graham Dillette. Did you see this? Graham Dillette on Twitter?
I shave with that every day.
Yeah, Gillette. That's the Montreal Canadiens.
The best of it.
Who's that guy upstairs?
Graham Dillette is a PGA Tour player who tweeted out 2 weeks ago, "I will puke if the Leafs end up with McDavid." Did you see this on Twitter? It was brilliant.
No.
Okay. He's a well-known, he's on the PGA Tour, the top tour in professional golfing.
Wow.
And "I will puke if the Leafs end up with McDavid." He tweeted this, knowing this was going to generate some heat. He's like, and because there was an interview with him a couple of days later, he goes, "Oh yeah, I knew that I was going to take some heat for this. If you can't take it, you don't tweet it." So of course, Leafers started piling on, but Graham Dillette shoots back, and some of these were brilliant. One person tweeted at him, said, if you want to be Canada's golfer, better start cheering for Canada's team. Graham Dillette replies, Crosby plays for Canada's team. Now, I believe he meant Team Canada there, not the Penguins.
Yeah.
Somebody else said, let's ask Weirzy what he thinks, an actual PGA event winner. The reply, he thinks the same. He's a Wings fan. Boom, right? Another one. Come on, Graham. We haven't won a cup since 67. Don't be a hater. Reply, you beat five teams that year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then the last one in all of this was, that was fun. Who should I pick on tomorrow? GD, 1. Leafs, 0. It was brilliant. It was hilarious to watch on Twitter. Just watching his particular feed was priceless because people were hammering on him. He was just, whatever.
I still love my James Neal elbows.
It was good.
Ask Neil.
Ask Neil. That was brilliant. If a train leaves Montreal, that was good. A couple of different notes from different teams. I can't remember when we record.
I can't remember.
You gotta let me finish the sentence. I can't remember if we last recorded if PK Subban had been fined and publicly named for diving.
Oh yes, we shamed him.
Okay, I thought we had, but I wasn't sure.
Give Pacioretty the C, please.
Pacioretty,
please.
Pretty good player. We'll have to see.
Please,
I have to see. Montreal swept their season series with Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Uh-oh.
Boston's on the way down. That's a pretty telling comment when Montreal can beat them 4 games out of 4 in the regular season. Yeah. And Montreal also lost longtime coach in the past, Claude Ruel, last week. I actually remember Claude Ruel being the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. A couple of Stanley Cups. It's back in the day. I know this. He was one of the last men who actually, I think he was one of the last men to actually wear a hat when he was behind the bench. Like a fedora kind of thing. A couple of other quick notes. Devin Dubnyk in Minnesota.
On fire.
Unbelievably on fire.
Wow, I missed this.
Now, this is from the last weekend.
We were texting about him because Dubnyk got traded to Minnesota. They needed a goalie for a third round pick.
Yes.
And I was just like, that's a lot for Devin Dubnyk.
As of last Saturday evening, Devin Dubnyk was 7-1 with a 1.3 goals against, .948 save percentage, and 4 shutouts and 9 starts.
Yes. Suck it, Edmonton.
Wow.
Now, on a related note. And we were texting about this last night. The other night. Edmonton has gone through 8, in air quotes, starting goalies in the past 2 years.
What?
Eight. They've had 8 goalies who they were trying out to see if they could be their starter in the past 2 years.
Scrivens, Fast.
I can't name them all. They were talking about this on the radio the other day. Wow. I went, 8, okay. And when Edmonton was here, it was mentioned twice, once in the pregame show and once on the radio broadcast of the game itself, that Ben Bishop was offered to Edmonton for a second round pick. And they said no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they were arrogant then.
Still are.
Yeah.
But out of all the goalies that they've been trying out, they could have had Ben Bishop for a second round pick. Now, that second round pick, which they didn't give up, ended up being Dreisaitl.
Leon Dreisaitl.
But.
Which I think is
undersized. Which well, they've screwed up and he's back in junior now anyway. They could have had Ben Bishop. Ben Bishop wouldn't solve their problems, but he'd be a hell of a good start to fixing their problems in goal and the blue line.
Yeah, I know you threw that in the forums.
Yeah, he's a difference maker.
I don't think it would have made an issue.
Yeah, crazy. Anyway, quickly, we already talked about Toronto. Already talked about Minnesota. Matt Karkner was waived by the New York Islanders. Yeah,
but you also mentioned he didn't play this year.
Yes. Well, he's been out all year. He was injured in the first preseason game and he had back surgery.
So exactly what
let
we
him
thought.
Play, see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except we thought it was going to be his knee.
Yeah. So it's his back. So he's been waived. I'm presuming that's just so they can clear off a roster spot.
I think he's a 1978. Well, no, because he also falls off your IR. So he comes onto the cap. You have to start to pay him. And well, I guess you pay him anyway.
Oh, they're paying.
Yeah, that'd be a roster spot.
They need the roster spot. But I mean, if he's on the IR, why? I don't know why they need to waive him.
He's off the IR one now because you got to send him down. They're not sending him for rehab. They're sending him down.
Hmm. Good point. So he's off the IR, but they don't want to play him.
Yep.
Okay, so they just want to clear the roster spot. Oh, well, maybe somebody will pick him up.
Ole Jokinen.
Who's to say?
Jokinen for Karkner.
Well, why? Does Toronto want Matt Karkner? Or do the New York Islanders want Ole Jokinen? I don't know. That's all I got.
We got to go.
I forgot to write down the week to come. So the week to come is there are games.
Tonight.
That's okay.
Oh, actually, sorry. One more thing. I forgot about this. When you and I, I'm pointing at Pan. Mm. When we were on the Sens Underground in season 7, one of the episodes, which was episode 23 to be exact, at the 43-minute mark, we were talking about the Sens Underground Sens playoff drinking game. And I thought this could use an update because it's not going to be a playoff drinking game, but it's going to be a rest of the season drinking game because Lord knows we could use one. There are going to be some pretty bad games that we might need a drinking game. So I tried to update it. I'm not finished. I'm going to post it in the forums. This will be for our next episode. I'm going to post what I have in the forums so that people can add to it or change it around or whatever you like. Because the one I wrote down what we had from Sens Underground, which was, take a drink when the Bob Cole uses the generic term the Sens player because he can't remember the players' names.
What did with the Fandangle?
Yeah, Fandangle was a double shot. No, I actually have one for that. So Dangle was a shot. Fandangle was a double shot. So now it's chug a beer if it's a highlight reel goal, but you have to chug a quart if the highlight reel goal was by Bobby Ryan.
No.
Ouch.
Yeah, because quarts are good. I got into a conversation with Russell the last week about the fact that Ontario doesn't sell beer in quarts, but Quebec still does, and how much better they are to have a beer bottle that holds two regular beers in it.
Well, you can still see them.
You still buy them here, though?
Well, wait. They're not listed in quarts. They're like 750 mils.
710s, yeah.
Yeah.
But just a regular beer? Not a craft brew, just a regular.
Oh, craft brew, yeah.
No, you can go to your corner store and get 12 quarts of whatever.
Okay.
Or go to the tavern, get quarts, because that's the only place you can find them is a tavern. It's an old school tavern.
Yeah. Week ahead, the beginning of the end.
Uh-oh.
So tonight, Carolina, who's hot? Wednesday, Montreal. Saturday, Florida. Then after this, and just in time, because we're going to be drinking late, we're going to California.
Oh, that's right. That's coming up next week. I knew it was coming up sometime.
California
so sure.
dreaming.
So of these six games, how many are we going to win? One?
Not
two?
Many. Not many, I don't think.
I never know.
Start the day.
We'll have to see.
Hey, as long as you're playing tight like this, I've still got no problem.
Yep. So that's the week to come. You can be in contact with us. The usual methods of contact. Keep listing out. That's email at podcast@sensecollabs.com. You can contact us on Twitter. Join the Facebook group. Join the online forums, because especially if the games are going badly, the online forum threads really make life much more bearable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good inside jokes, but there's also just a lot of fun commentary about what's going on.
Yeah, how I jumped in. It's like, Edmonton needs Mark Messier, and then left.
Well, stay around for a while. Sometimes it can be a lot of fun. You can also call us on the waiver wire at 844 844- SCU6565. Let us know what you think about the Mark Mathot contract or anything else. Hopefully we won't be back in a month or 2 weeks. Maybe we'll be back next week. Don't know. Maybe. Can't say.
Who knows?
Could be worse. Could be worse.
Anyway, we're off to the Carolina game this evening.
Yep.
And we'll report back on it next week. Thanks for listening, buddy. Good.
See ya. Bye.
Something I'm giving up on you.
Do something!
Saturday nights with the white and blue. Anywhere you played, I followed you. Time you won a game, you've been losing them all. Clarkson will stumble and fall. Gave away, took a risk, we made the wrong call. Treat someone, I'm giving up on you.
Do something!
Castle alone cannot get us through. Optimus Prime, what happened to you? Someone, I'm giving up on you. And I will swallow my pride. You're the team that I love, so I won't say goodbye. I'm giving up on you. Can't forget game 7 that you blew. That for one lead should have got us through. Oh. Do something, please.